Turn to 1 John 1:9.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not going to have you stand and read with me today. I'll just read the couple of verses that I want to start off with. 1 John chapter 1, just verse 8, 9, and 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you have been so good to give us this word.
Amen.
God, you've explained so much to us and shown us your loving kindness and mercy in this book. And God, we thank you that you forgive sins. What a mighty ministry. What a mighty gift. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And Lord, touch each of our hearts. May the Holy Spirit bless us. May he use the word to draw us closer to you. And is anyone here lost, we pray that they will be convicted and drawn by the great mercy of God to be saved. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first verses that I learned as a Christian and witnessing was 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing. Forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
You know, every time we come to the prayer meeting, I'm struck again with the mercy of God that he would pay attention to my prayers. Does that strike you?
Amen.
I don't know why God would pay attention to me. I don't know why God would pay attention to you. I don't know why God would want to know what I want. But that's amazing to me. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has done. That he would take a common human being and tell him, let your requests be made known. What do you want? What do you need? This is the house of prayer. God wants people to pray. Now that's a great big thing, and it's a mighty thing in my mind about how God is. That God would listen to you. God pays attention to you. Well, here in this verse, we're talking about confessing sins and being cleansed from all unrighteousness. We're talking about forgiveness. Now, a lot of people know about a God that punishes evil. They know about a God that what you sow you will reap. They know about a God who says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And they love the idea of the justice of the Old Testament law and the Old Testament God that says eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and so on and so forth. But one of the greatest things that happened to me was when I was just about 21 years old, I found out that God really would forgive me. Have you done anything to be forgiven of? Well, it says right here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I mean, you're walking in a dream world. You can look around on television at all those great big sinners that got their picture on television, you know, because they murdered somebody, they stole something, they broke out of jail or whatever. But man, when you're looking at them and when you're pointing your finger, you got those three coming back at you. You're not much different than them. Now that's hard to say and it's hard to believe. You're not much different than them. They're just gone a little bit further than you've gone. You got the same rebellious spirit. You got the same self-satisfied spirit. You got the same rebellion against God, just like every child has some rebellion against their parents. And all it is they've gone a step further. And by the way, some of you just never got caught.
Amen.
You did the same things they did. You just didn't get caught. That's why you're not a jailbird. That's why you don't have a reputation. If God had let you get caught on one given day in your life, could you have gone to jail? Oh, yeah. Most of you. Bunch of you, anyway. And it says, also, if we say that we have not sinned. You ever met anybody who said that? I have too. I have too. My sister one time met a man. He was knocking on doors. And he come by her house, and he was talking to her, and she said, "Have you sinned?" He said, "I haven't sinned in 20 years. He said, "You just did. You lied." We're all sinners. And one of the great embarrassments of our life is to look at the sin we have actually committed.
Amen.
And then even to think of what we could imagine to do. That embarrasses me. I'm embarrassed by what I've done. I'm embarrassed what I could have done. Thought of doing.
Amen.
Now, some people think that forgiveness is an easy thing. I don't see it as an easy thing. To me, forgiveness is a great big thing. I've had to forgive a few people, and I've had to be forgiven by a few people. And you know what? Sometimes you say something or you do something, you can take it back all you want to. It's done out there. It's done the damage already. You've already hurt somebody. You've already crossed them. You've already hurt them. And how do you take that back? You can't make it right. If you wanted to go back and pay back every store where you snitched a little candy or something like that, you can't do it. Well, how about God forgiving you? What have you done against God? Well, you rebelled against Him since the day you were born.
Amen.
You have it in your nature to rebel against God. God says something, "I don't like that. How far can I go?" You don't know how many times as a preacher over, goodness gracious, 58 years, I've been asked, "How far can I go and not be sin? How close can I get to sin without actually crossing the line into sin?" What are you trying to say? I want to do what God doesn't want me to do, but I don't want to get hit. I don't want to get spanked. I don't want to get hurt. But you're saying in my mind, I really want to do this. In my mind, I'm not pleased with what God has said. And so how far can I go across the line? And that's a hard question to answer sometimes. But I know that this was a great thing for me. I'd heard, many of you heard my testimony many times. It's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. I can't help but rejoice in it every day I live. I was about 21 years old, and I knew I was a sinner. I had had a buddy die on my truck in my run. He blew up. I was a refueler in the Air Force. And I thought about that. 20-year-olds can die. You know, you think you're bulletproof and 10 feet tall, but you're not. There's not a bulletproof person in this room. And nobody in here is 10 feet tall because that's what the walls are. So take a look at that and measure yourself up. You're not that big. You're not that tough. You're not that strong. You're not that secure. You're not that safe. You're vulnerable.
Amen.
And the Lord come and touched my heart through a series of experiences about a year after this fellow died. Bobby Harris from Tennessee, 21 years old. And I went and heard the gospel. And it said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, when I first got saved, I went around telling people that's a good promise. I led a lot of people to a confession of faith in the Lord with the main emphasis on this verse. God can and will forgive your sins. And you got this verse to say, God, here's what you said. I'll confess them, Lord. I'll confess I'm a sinner. I should not have done them. I was wicked in wanting to do them and finishing it out and doing them. But I remember that night. I did get convicted. I looked at my oldest son. He was 8 days from a year old. And oh, I loved that kid. And Billy was in the hangar getting ready to fly. And I looked at that boy and I thought, I had a good dad. My dad was exceptional, as people go. How did I get so lucky? And I thought about my dad, who didn't cuss or drink or swear or didn't run around on my mom, and who just thought good things. Only thing I guess you could criticize him for was he smoked all his life. And I compared myself to my dad. And by that comparison, I came off pretty bad. And then I looked at that little boy and said, I'm raising that boy. What's he going to be like? What if his goal, what is his standard? What if his ideal of manhood and the right living is me? Where will he end up? And the conviction just struck me. You are a sinner, a great big sinner. You don't deserve to go to heaven if you were to die. If you'd have been blown up in that truck accident on your truck, your run actually called you for, just a bit of circumstance that Bobby took the truck, you'd be in hell today. And I began to repent. I called out everything I could think of. I prayed for several hours. And then all of a sudden, I was forgiven. I just felt the load go. I've been forgiven. God forgave me. And all I did was get on my knees, cry a few tears, confess a few sins, and ask God on the promise of a verse.
Amen.
Wow. I couldn't quit crying. I cried for 12 hours straight. Not because I was sad, because I was happy. I was just bouncing around the wall. My feet wouldn't hardly touch the floor. That poor preacher, he went to bed late the night before. I woke him up at 7. I got saved. I got saved. I've been forgiven.
Amen.
I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell everybody I know about this. As long as I live. Wow. That poor preacher, yeah, that's very good, honey. Good son. What do I need to do? He said, well, you need to be baptized. I said, I've been baptized twice already. He said, oh, they didn't count. He said, you need to start tithing. I said, I don't know what tithing is. He said, you give 10% of your income. Okay, I was a serviceman. I didn't make anything. About $196 with wife and kids. I didn't even have a checkbook. I didn't have a credit card. I dropped a $20 bill in the plate as they passed it. each month. Wow. And I began to tell people they could be forgiven. Peter Ruckman is a personal friend of mine. He was preaching in a prison, and he kept getting all these innocent prisoners. Well, what are you in here for? Well, I was framed. I was this. I'm not guilty. I never was guilty. And so he come on down the line. He came to a great big black man. And he said, are you a sinner? And he said, yes, sir, I am. I'm guilty of sin, guilty as hell. And Peter Ruckman said, praise God, praise God. And the guy said, what do you mean? I killed her. What are you doing praising God? He said, I finally found a sinner. I found somebody I can preach to. I found somebody that can be forgiven. Somebody that's guilty. I've met so many people in my life and in my preaching and in my testimony. They're not guilty. They're not guilty. They will not confess their sin. And they can never get it cleansed without confessing it. If you don't honestly face it and see it and confess it, God can't forgive you. He won't forgive you. He's got his conditions. But wow, when I got forgiven, do you remember? Did you have an experience like that? Amen. Did you have something in your mind that said, wow, all that I've done, he says, I'm forgiven. Amen. I think it's one of the greatest things. Maybe the greatest thing. I don't know. I'm going to read some verses to you this morning. One of the absolute greatest things that God gives us is forgiveness. You know what that means? That means I'm clean. That means I'm pure. I'm undefiled. I'm ready for heaven. Not because I'm any good. A lot of people that I witness to and that you witness to that are lost out there, they think you're trying to tell them you're good now. No, I'm not trying to tell anybody I'm good.
Amen.
I'm not good. I have a wicked mind. Every cuss word that I ever knew is still there. It just doesn't come out the mouth anymore. And sometimes I fear it's going to. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And that forgiveness changed me. You know what? I don't want to get guilty again. You know what? It bothers me as I walk through life, every day of my life, how I keep shoveling guilt all over myself. Sin. Bad thoughts. Temptations. I don't want that. I don't want that.
Amen.
I haven't conquered all of those things. I don't know how to do it. I can't tell you how to do it. But I know I was forgiven. And being forgiven of everything I have ever done or ever will do and placed in a situation as a son of God, an heir with Christ, a brother to Christ, wow. How big is that gift? It's awful big. Look back in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Have a similar thing when he's talking about the people of Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen.
I want you to notice what he said here. He said, if my people, that's Christians, that's you. You're one of his people today. Maybe you've been one of his people 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You're still sinning. You're still confessing. You're still being forgiven. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us, isn't it? Shall humble themselves. What do you got to do? You got to humble yourself.
Amen.
You can't stand on your pride.
Amen.
You stand on your pride and God will break you. You believe that? You better believe that. You stand up on your pride before God Almighty, God will break you. He'll cut you off at the knees. You can't stand up in pride against God. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, there's your conditions. It's a broken and a contrite heart that God will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart. God says that kind of forgiveness, that kind of confession, that kind of honesty, I'll reward with forgiveness. And that's what he does. I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, will heal their land. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times? That seems a lot. Doesn't it? Seven times? If my brother has offended me seven times, my brother, how often should I forgive him? Could you take it all the way to seven? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times, probably in one day. My sister, I didn't have any brothers. My sister never offended me even seven times in a day, much less 490 times in a day. You got patience to forgive somebody that's offended you 490 times in a day? That's what God's asking. Why would God put something like this upon you? Because he's willing to do it. That's what he's teaching you. You sin, you confess. You sin, you confess. You sin, you confess. If it's 490 times in a day, I'll forgive you. Wow! How about that for a gift?
Amen.
How about that for acceptance? Hey, some of your marriages at work. If you'd forgive your husband 490 times in a day. Or you'd forgive your wife 490 times in a day. That's ridiculous, isn't it? It's too much. Nobody would put up with being slapped 490 times. Would they? Would you? How about being insulted, cussed out 490 times? You're going to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. But let me ask you a question. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? The forgiveness of God is one of the biggest things in the Bible that I know of. It's a great doctrine. And God is going to forgive you because he said he's willing to forgive you if you confess it, if you ask for forgiveness. Oh, you may have to humble yourself a little bit. It might be something you have to recognize. I am offending somebody. I'm hurting people. I'm doing damage. But God says, I have forgiven you everything you ever did and everything you ever will do, and I'm going to take you to heaven with me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is that what the promise of the gospel is?
Amen.
That's what it is. What it is, God said, you are now mine. I don't care if you got 50 more years to live. You can't mess it up. I've given you righteousness. I'm going to forgive everything you have ever done.
Amen.
Wow. Wow, you talk about big. That's one of the biggest gifts you can even imagine. I am going to make you mine. You don't deserve it. You never deserved it. But I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to take you to a mansion. And I'm going to shower my love on you. And it's going to take the ages to come to reveal how great my love is. Wow. Forgiveness. I'm telling you, every day I live, I thank God for forgiveness. I'm forgiven. You ought to thank God too. You know, that ought to make us not sin. The idea I'm forgiven and forgiven like God has forgiven us, it ought to make you hate your own sin.
Amen.
It ought to make you hate your own wicked mind.
Amen.
It ought to hate, it ought to make you hate the propensity to rebel against God and not just shower our love all over God. How come we're so stingy with our love? God has not been stingy with you. God has showered his love, showered his forgiveness. And you just hold back and hold back and hold back, and God is still walking along with you. Having to carry you about half the time because you won't grow up. You know, it's a sad thing when a child has a misfortune to not be able to grow up. Isn't it? The purpose of a child is to grow up and be whole and be self-sufficient and be a worker, and you as a parent take pride in this, my son is grown, and this one's a doctor, this one's a lawyer, this is a carpenter, this one fixes air conditioners, this one is a merchant or whatever. We take pride. I wonder what God thinks about you. He has forgiven you over and over and over again, and you're still acting like a spoiled brat.
Amen.
Guilty?
Amen.
Guilty? Oh yeah, we're guilty. Oh God, it's too hot today. How come it's so hot in San Antonio? Move to Alaska, dummy. If you don't like San Antonio, man, go where it's cold. Quit complaining. God showers his mercy, showers his forgiveness all over you. You're forgiven.
Amen.
It ought to change you.
Amen.
That ought to change you. Seven times? He said 70 times seven. Look what you will at Acts chapter 26. Verse 17, Paul is giving his testimony before the king. And in verse 17, here's what Jesus was telling him. Delivering thee from the people, that's the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Look at verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Buddy, without that forgiveness of sins, you don't make it to heaven. Without that forgiveness of sins, you don't make it into the presence of God. Without that forgiveness of sins, you don't have anything. All the other disappears. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to go out there, Paul, and preach to those Gentiles. That's me. I'm a Gentile. Heinz 57 varieties. No telling what all is in this supposedly Irish body. Probably Heinz 57 varieties. But you know what? God opened my eyes. God turned me out of darkness into light. I now see. Turned me from the power of Satan unto God. And I received forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. And sanctified by faith. What do those things mean? You ought to know. They ought to bless your heart. You ought to know they're yours. They're not some far off dream that you can't reach. They're yours. By repentance, confession, acknowledgement of sin, honesty before God and man. All that's yours, God forgives you. And that forgiveness guarantees you an inheritance. Wow. you get any bigger than this? To me, it just blows my mind. I'm continually impressed with my God. I really am. Continually impressed with my God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, wait a minute. You don't look presentable to me. You don't look deserving to me. You don't look that good to be in this crowd. But look what he said. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us suitable, meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All those saints, all those beautiful people, you're among them. You're with them. God's made you stand. Look, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? You remember what God, what the devil, the chains the devil had on you? He had chains on you. He had you choked down. He had you afraid. Some of you were drug addicts. Some of you were sex addicts. Some of you were liars. Some of you were cheaters and stealers and, wow, just any other name you could think. And God has delivered you. You're not that anymore. You used to be.
Thank you, Lord.
You used to be. Now you're among the saints of light.
Amen.
Wow. Have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I don't worship Satan anymore. I worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my brother. He's my inheritor, co-inheritor. How great is that? How about getting really promoted from your measly little family up into this group? In whom we have redemption through his blood. Think about that. What a big, mighty, I'm redeemed. My soul has been paid for. God paid the price.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Through his son.
Amen.
Jesus paid the price of your redemption. But notice the next phrase. Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
You don't make it without forgiveness. It's too important. You need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. How are you going to get forgiven? You got to be honest with God. If you don't have a broken and a contrite spirit, if you don't have a broken heart, you won't be forgiven. God broke me. 58 years ago, God broke me. Man, I recognized it. I knew it. I knew the minute he got through with him that I belonged to him forever. Wow. Even the forgiveness of sins. All of that about the blood of Jesus Christ, it's all about sin. It's all about covering sin. It's all about forgiving sin.
Amen.
Because sin is the problem that separates
Amen.
Between you and God. Sin is what keeps you over on that other side of that great gulf and canyon that you cannot cross. And the only way you can cross it is that Jesus Christ, by his blood, pays for your forgiveness.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? You ought to thank God.
Amen.
You forgiven? You ought to praise God. You ought to lift up his name. You ought to do anything to serve him. You ought to glorify him every day of your life. You ought to want to please him. You ought to ask him to forgive you for how little you please him. You ought to have to ask him to forgive you for You're being so selfish and self-centered and not interested in him or what Amen. He wants. The forgiveness of sin. That's the only way you meet God in heaven. That's the only way you go there. No other way. They're not any of you good enough. You, some of you think you're better than the rest of us. And some might think, you think the preachers think that. Well, maybe some of them do. I don't know. I sure don't. I see people's sins. People have been confessing their sins to me for 58 years. Quit. I got enough sin. I don't need the load of your sins. You don't have to confess to me. Confess them to God.
Amen.
But you know what? Wow. I'm just one of the sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm just one of the people of God who don't deserve to be there. I'm just one of those that been translated into the kingdom of his light, all by his grace, all by his mercy. And I stand there knowing I don't deserve to be there. You need to be forgiven. You need to confess your sin to God. You need to humble yourself. Admit what a rotten, stupid wretch you are. Get on your face before God and ask him if he can possibly have mercy. And through the blood of Jesus and by his promise, he can forgive your sins. Forgiveness, it's a great, great gift. Let's bow our heads.